Hello, everybody, and welcome to DeathDoorProds.com Comic Book Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by $6 shirts. Crazy shirts for crazy cheap. Head over to $6shirts.com where all their shirts are only $6. Or you can get any 10 of them for only $50. That saves you, that's buy five, get one free. Awesome. Click the link at the bottom of the page or any banner ads on the site and go check out some awesome shirts for only $6. $6shirts.com. While our shirts don't cost $6, we do have some and other stuff. Head over to DeathDoorProds.com/store and check them out. We have launched our new store now, so we have a wider range of products, like, but with the same designs and stuff. So, if you want to help us, like, round out our design department for the t-shirts and other stuff, please don't hesitate to send your designs to Bobiwan at DeathDoorProds.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we get some art, we like it, then we make it into a bunch of products, we'll pay you based on how well those products sell. If you have an idea, we'd love to hear from you, but unfortunately we won't be able to pay you if we make something out of it. But if you have art, we will pay you. If it sells. Probably won't. We don't make a lot of money.
No, we don't.
Nope. 11 cents a day.
That's not too bad.
It really is too bad.
It's more money I make a day.
Well, anyway, I'm your host, the Dead Man. Joe, today we have Bovion.
You know, as you explained there, that we have a wider range of designs, but no new ones. I felt like you were kind of shitting all over everything I did.
Right, I forgot.
Fuck you, made you some too.
Stuff. I'm sorry. You know I had the memory of a goldfish. But we do actually have some new bum designs, like the curtain wipes T-shirt.
I was just looking at that right now.
The fucking space suspenders.
Fucking curtain wipes. Fucking curtain wipes, man. I am never going to be able to look at a curtain wipe the same way again.
They're like one of the worst transitions in film.
Oh, yeah.
Not bad at star wipes. Or circle wipes. I don't like circle wipes. I don't understand it.
What? So you hate the Looney Tunes?
That's different.
They do circle
like
wipes.
Like, animation follows different rules of me hating it. Like, if I hate a thing they do in a live-action film, I necessarily won't hate it in an animation.
So you won't hate it if... So if you hate something in a live-action film, you definitely won't hate it in an animated film.
Not I mean, definitely, but...
It's what you just said.
Not
I
definitely.
Will, I will necessarily.
Necessarily.
You will not necessarily, you mean.
I mean... comic books!
Yes, comic books! Fuck! Steven's here, too.
I am.
So yeah, fucking comic books.
You're telling me.
Yeah. No curtain wipes you found there.
No. It's page turns.
Well, yet.
Which is also an awful transition.
Yeah, well, it's going to get to the point where like every comic's now a motion comic and then everything just has curtain wipes. Yes, that is the future of the medium.
Whatever.
We called it here.
Called it.
Yeah, so when Marvel and DC eventually start doing this and everyone ends up hating them for it, just remember that we called it and that everyone flocked to Image.
And?
They won't put up with any of that bullshit. And they've gotten better since the 90s.
Oh, Image.
Believe me, Elephant Men is good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, except the most recent issue, which was a whole piece of dog shit, but whatever. Not talking about that today. But since I did talk about shit, I'll go first. Fuck it, I don't care. Steven, what was your pick from my list of all the 60? I counted.
Sorry, I'm laughing because I'm going to mispronounce it on purpose. Katniss, number one.
Yeah, so Katniss, number one.
I'd read that. Actually.
There's a solo series focusing on nothing about the Hunger Games, just Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, just you look in the background to see where you can see PETA stalking her.
What a weirdo, that guy. I rewatched that movie and I was like, this guy's weird.
Yeah, I mean, why the fuck would a derelict fucking like 1940s Dust Bowl fucking district have a cake shop?
I think it was a cake shop before things went bad.
They can't afford cakes.
I'm sure the
That's a terrible
the rich
movie
folk-
too, like
Wait, this isn't movies, damn it.
Yeah.
So Katana, number one.
Yeah.
Speaking of terrible.
I'm so bad. I'm so upset that you told me this is actually bad, because I was like, this might be okay.
Yeah, I know.
I guess it wasn't.
It sucks that it's bad. Like, I haven't read like any of the Birds of Prey. I've read some of the Birds of Prey stuff, and from what I've read, Katana is pretty awesome.
Yeah, she's got a sword that steals your soul.
Yeah, and her husband's in it.
Yeah.
Which isn't creepy at all.
It's unfortunate for her.
Yeah. So anyway, so with the story, she's going to some Asian district in San Francisco or something. Weird. Zen ninjas.
Ninjas?
Yep. Hella ninja. Yeah, so like, I actually don't really have any idea what's going on in this damn comic. Like, I just read it before we started recording this, and I have no goddamn idea really what the hell is going on. It's like, she was there looking for somebody, but then she like went into, then she like rented an apartment somewhere, and like paid the woman running the place a fuck ton of money to make sure no one knows she's there, and then she tries fighting against some planks of wood and loses. Like, I'm not even kidding. She loses against wood.
What is this? Golden Age Green Lantern?
Yeah, it's... So what the scene was she had a bunch of, like, planks of wood up with, like, little poles sticking out of them that have red paint on them.
Okay.
And her goal was... She's surrounded by 30 opponents. She has her sword. She has her sword, and she needs to take them all out without getting hit once.
Okay.
Then, somehow... all the poles are flying towards her.
Oh no.
Like, we saw the backs of these planks of wood. It's just wood. It's like wood paneling with fucking things stuck on them with, like, glue, like, blue tack or something. There is no propulsion device.
They just move?
They just flew at her.
Huh.
And she lost. So she goes down for a nap. Or, like, sleep or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she dreams of having sex with her husband, who then starts bleeding on her.
Oh.
Then she wakes up saying, a nightmare. Like, no exclamation point, no funky text, no
her. A nightmare!
No, it's not even that. It's just, this way it's read is like, a nightmare.
Wait, in a speech bubble or like a...
In a speech bubble.
What? Weird.
Yeah, and there isn't any like, huh. Like, there isn't any like her like going, ah, or like breathing heavily because, oh my god, it was a nightmare. She just wakes up, a nightmare. Come here, sword. You'll protect me from the nightmares.
Weird.
Yeah, so then she dresses up all fancy and shit, you know, with her mask as a head thing and chopsticks in her hair that are actually blades with poison on them or some bullshit.
Weird.
She goes to the kawaii gardens.
Super kawaii, this is.
Yeah. Shit's so kawaii. It's a bit tsundere, too. Yeah, and then ninjas.
And then ninjas.
And somewhere in there, she actually finds the time to put on her gray face paint. Like, I'm not kidding. One panel, she is just regular skinned, like, no face paint. Then the next scene, it's gray.
Her body decides to put it on, like, you know, like Colossus.
Yeah, but then why didn't it put it on her when she started fighting?
Maybe she forgot.
Because she like flipped down her mask, fought like 12, like a dozen ninjas, then was going to fight the next dozen, and then as soon as she hits the first one, just paints back.
Okay.
And then she fights some jackass and told her to get back in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even kidding.
Hmm.
You see, it kind of starts out like a bit in medias res, where it like has the fight near the end before going to the beginning of the story and then getting to the fight.
Okay.
And so she's fighting a guy named Coil, who has this giant sword thing that bends in ways that even a really flexible sword shouldn't be able to bend.
No, it shouldn't.
No, so he wraps her up and then he's like, women.
Women, am I right?
Yeah, it's like women can't be masters of it. It's like women have been beaten down through years of humiliation and subjugation. They can't be master of anything, except maybe their kitchen.
That's upsetting.
Yep.
Ugh.
So it was the ninja equivalent of, bitch, get back in the kitchen.
Yeah. Come on, guys, we're better than this.
Yeah, and the art, like, continuity errors aside, it's just bad.
That makes me so sad.
I know, dude. It's like I said, I don't know much about Katana, but she was better than this.
Yeah.
It's Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because the cover was cool.
Yeah, the cover was good. But
I don't understand why.
The artist who did the cover wasn't the artist who did the interiors.
Yeah, I don't understand why people do that stuff.
Because fuck you.
I guess.
I guess, like, DC realized that the art inside was absolute shit. So they wanted to get, like, some pretty art so that people would actually pick up the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they got the artist who did the interiors to do the art for the cover, it would look like absolute ass. So no one would pick up the book.
That's probably actually accurate.
Yeah, like for the books that are shit, I can understand them using different artists for the cover, but what about the books that are good?
I know, it just confuses me.
Yeah.
Just boggles my boggly.
Like back when the original, like a few years ago, or relatively recent, I don't know when, but the X-23 series?
Yeah.
The art inside was great. The art on the cover was great, but they were two entirely different art styles.
Yeah, it's always... Oh, get it.
Sense. Yeah, so Katana, it was shit. Moving on.
But yeah.
What's your pick?
Fantastic Four 4.
Yes, Fantastic Four 4. This is the fourth issue of Fantastic Four. And the Fantastic Four are now gods to a certain race of alien people.
Typical.
Because caves.
That's a good way to go.
Typical Fantastic Four bullshit.
Yeah, just set up some... Just like go down to some planet where they never heard you before, and then make yourself gods. So typical.
Although honestly, if you could, wouldn't you?
No. Fuck no! I don't want to be a god. Which
yeah,
much pressure?
Like, yeah, man, I got enough anxiety as it is.
Yeah, fuck. Just go down there. And just like raise a couple cities to the ground and become a demon.
Well, what you gotta do is what Thor did in the Hitchhiker series, which is to get yourself hired as a planet's god, and then, quote-unquote, martyr yourself, so they continue to worship you with you doing no work whatsoever. Jesus
bad.
Actually did the same thing.
Well, he came back
from the
dead.
It's a good business arrangement.
Kind of. I don't know, yeah, that probably, like, Jesus coming back from the dead probably was probably just him fucking up his, like, returning to heaven. It's like, hey, I'm your god worshipy. Oh, no, I'm dead. It's like, okay, just gotta get up here before anyone knows me. Oh, fuck, yes! I have returned!
Well, according to my little brother, that was Jesus regenerating.
Because he's the doctor. Wouldn't surprise me if the doctor was Jesus.
We're all Jesus.
Nor I, actually. Actually, I mean, at one point he does grow that awesome beard, but enough of Doctor Who. Back to Fantastic Four 4.
Yes, Fantastic Four 4. So this one, so have you guys read any of the new Fantastic Four series?
No.
So, the story behind this one is Reed Richards, while fighting a dinosaur, gets his arm bitten. Upon looking at his DNA, he realizes that he's dying.
We're all dying, Mr. Richards.
No, you mean like dying because of the space radiation that gave him his powers.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and so he figures, fuck, my family's gonna die.
Yep.
So, what does he decide to do? Not tell them and shoot them into space.
He always does these things.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's pretty much the solution to everything. Just go into space.
Oh, God, that guy.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
How did he not realize pretty much the thing is one giant tumor?
He's not a tumor.
He's just... Whatever.
But yeah, so it's actually a bit weird with how he goes into space, because what he does is he, like, opens up a wormhole that has, like, some weird time dilation field where he's supposed to be gone for 2 years, but in the real world time, he's also supposed to be gone for 4 minutes.
Hmm. Odd.
Which is where the FFs come in.
Yeah.
Like,
as a backup.
Yeah, they're the backup for the 4 minutes that the Fantastic Four would have been gone.
Because they're so full of themselves.
Yeah, only they were gone for more than 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is why the book FF lasted more than 2 issues.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe so.
Bye. Nothing happened. We're back.
Whoa, what?
No, it would have been hilarious if they had it gone, like, the second the portal closes, just Galactus shows up. Okay, we'll see you guys later. Oh, fuck, it's Galactus.
But seriously, how much shit do you have to plan for going wrong in 4 minutes of you being gone?
I don't know. Well, riots can start very spontaneously.
Yeah. Does Fantastic Four are gone.
Raid the Baxter Building.
Ah!
Dibs on Sue Storm's underwear.
Dibs on the Thing's underwear.
Oh God!
Why?
So I can clone the Thing.
Are you homeless? Do you need a place to live?
No, are you kidding me? Just if underwear is any indication, just streak marks would be just stones destroying the back of his underwear. There'd just be a giant hole in the middle of every single one of the Thing's underwear. He doesn't wipe.
The Thing.
Actually, that brings up a question. Like, does the Thing shit rocks?
No. My theory is the Thing isn't a person. Like, he doesn't do what people do.
But we see him eat. We see him drink.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
He presumably has sex because he's got girlfriends.
Yeah, but I think to get rid of waste out of his body, he sheds. It, like, becomes new rocks on his body, and the old rocks kind of, like, crumble off.
So his rocks are really shit.
Yeah, he's really just covered in hard orange shit.
He's covered, yeah, he's covered in his body's waste.
I gotta say, I prefer the ultimate version of the Hulk compared to ultimate version of the Thing compared to that.
Why?
Because the ultimate universe, the Thing, like, the rocks are actually just a cocoon kind of for him, as he just, it was like, he was actually building power up inside of him, like regular stuff, so he was able to look cute, but still have, like, super strength and shit, and he hasn't showed up at all in the new, and since the Ultimate Universe got rebooted.
Huh.
And it's so shit, because, like, at the end of, the last time we saw the Thing in the regular Ultimate Universe, he and Sue Storm were gonna get married.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was nice.
Reed Richards was evil. He killed his family.
Richards.
Yeah, typical Richards, obviously.
He's a dick.
Yeah,
I hate him.
Yeah, then Ben shows up to Sue Storm, like, while she's working at the Baxter Building doing science shit. He says, I love you, and then he just, like, starts shedding some rocks and says, you can keep those to remember me by, then leaves.
Forever.
And then he explodes.
Maybe he became space dust.
No, like, he blew up, like, he exploded, and then he was a person.
Just like a normal person?
He just looked like Ben Grimm.
Oh, that's boring.
But then he could turn purple and glow, which gave him super strength and super invulnerability.
I wish it was orange, because that was like his bit.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so anyway.
What are you going to do?
It's a fantastic 4-4.
4-4.
Yeah, so 4-4. So they are, like, flying through space and shit. Ben's getting cabin fever. Because, you know, his shtick is, I hit things, and you can't hit anything in a spaceship or he'll die.
Oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, so anyway,
somebody's in space, like, all the time.
Yeah, so then Reed, it turns out he's been, like, communicating with a planet that they've been, like, exchanging scientific theories. So then they go down to the planet, and then the people on the planet take him to a cave where there is a mural painted of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, weird.
And their kids.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So then everyone starts worshiping them as gods.
As one would do.
Reed gets all mopey and emo and shit.
Because he's dying?
I don't want to be a god.
I was like, I don't want to die.
I just want to do science and stretch around.
Yeah. And throughout this, it's like intercut with the backstory of Reed and Sue meeting for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when he was moving into Sue's aunt's place.
Mm-hmm. When he was like a college something.
Yeah, and he was doing science, and then he started dating Sue, and then he moved away from Sue because his grade dropped 3%. Yes, from 125 to 122, I'm guessing.
That sucks. That sucks when that happens.
Yeah, I know. He went from being exceptionally above the curve to just being a bit exceptionally above the curve.
To, like, from, like, noteworthy to, like, whoa, that's pretty neat.
No, he went from being noteworthy to being 2% less noteworthy.
Still noteworthy. From being 25%
ahead of everybody else to being 22% ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah, because, you know, sex. It does that.
I mean, yeah.
Remember, smart kids, don't have sex. It'll drop your grade point average.
Sex makes you dumb.
Well, I was playing you.
Oh!
It also explains me. And burn on myself, because it also means that I'm smart, because I'm an idiot. Fuck. I don't know, moving on. Fantastic Four. It's good. I like it.
Whoa. That only scares me.
Yeah,
Kelso has that power.
Yeah, if you're going to go with that theory, you should have seen me before. I was fucking Stephen Hawking before.
Yeah. But then you get
not fucking Stephen Hawking, but like...
Yeah, we get it.
I don't get it. Explain it more.
Yeah, so you weren't fucking Stephen.
Uh-oh. I don't like this joke anymore.
Should we tell him? I mean, there was that one time.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, so, Fantastic Four 4. God damn it.
Fucking Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Fantastic Four. I like Fantastic Four, okay? I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, previously, previous times I've had to read Fantastic Four, I haven't gotten into it because I hate families.
Okay.
Like, but this has gotten some more interesting things because, like, the art's really good, and I think it's drawn by Mark Bagley.
Yep.
And he is fantastic.
Oh, I get it.
I didn't even get
you
that.
You didn't intend it, but...
Yeah. Yeah, so Mark Bagley's awesome. Matt Fraction, he's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the series is good. I like it. And there's also kind of hinting at some stuff that Sue Storm is being fed up with Reed Richards' bullshit. Which, finally...
Yeah, come on, Sue.
Hey, come on, Ben is way better for you.
Sue, you should put a sphere inside Reed and slowly expand it until he explodes and dies.
Yeah, she actually did that in the Ultimate Universe, kind of.
Yeah, I know.
She tried to do it, but then Reed was like, okay, fuck you.
Yeah, she was going to do it, and then she didn't.
No, she did it. Like, his head expanded.
Oh, okay.
But it didn't work.
Oh, because
he's,
fuck.
Like, elastic and shit.
Yeah, she just, like... Like, he was just in the middle of talking, and all of a sudden his head expanded to, like, 5 times the normal size. And they got all indignant and shit. And then Sue appeared in a hospital, like, having the fuck beaten out of her.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so seriously, Sue, just dump Reed, take the kids, run off with Ben.
Or Namor.
Fuck Namor.
He's
part of the Illuminati. Fuck everyone in the Illuminati.
I like Doctor Strange.
Yeah, so Fantastic Four 4, it's good. Check out the Fantastic Four series. Also check out FF, it's good too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then moving on to my pick, I have two of them, because one I really want to talk about, the other one I feel like I need to talk about because it's just so stupid.
That's my favorite things.
So stupid, or the one I want to talk about first, you guys pick.
Bad news.
Okay, Young Romance.
I knew that was going to be the bad news.
The DC Valentine's Day cash-in book.
I like this book because I was going to buy it, and then I thought about it, and then I didn't buy it.
It's terrible.
I imagined.
And I mean god awful. So, if I remember right, there are, I think, four stories in this?
I thought it was more than that.
There's Batwoman and Cat. There's Batwoman. There's Catman and fuck. Batman and Catwoman.
That was great.
There's Batwoman and Catman.
Yeah.
Batwoman and Catman. Just Catwoman. Batwoman gets into her experimental phase. But anyway, yeah. Batman and Catwoman. There's Aquaman and Mera.
Mm-hmm.
Batgirl and some jackass who got his leg cut off in the previous arc.
Oh, that's dumb.
And Superman and Wonder Woman. I think that's it.
Apollo and Midnighter.
Apollo and Midnighter, right, them. Yeah, they wrap up, I think they wrap up the issue.
I'm looking through it now.
Where they're just
Nightwing? Before. There's a Nightwing one?
Right, fuck. Okay, so yeah, there's all those.
I think that's it.
Okay, so just... Let's break them down. So, Batman, Catwoman.
Okay.
They beat each other up.
Hot.
Yeah, that's it.
Hot.
It's not really a story like exemplifying their romance or showing how it all began, like with their romance. It's just when they first met and they punched each other.
Hot.
Yes, then next up is
Aquaman.
Aquaman, yeah, so that one. It's a weird story where it's so the main crux of the story is that there's this couple that existed back in the olden times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them was like a high class society lady, and the other one was the son of the guy who ran the lighthouse.
Okay.
And they fell in love, but then the guy had to go out to sea, and they started writing letters back and forth to each other. Then the guy died.
Ah.
And then Aquaman and Mera, they find the letters, read them, and then Mera goes into the water, gets the head of the boat that the guy was on, brings it back, and then as Aquaman and Mera kiss, we see the ghosts of the two people kiss in the background. And they look the exact same as Aquaman and Mera.
Ah, who'd have thunk?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man, I love symbolism.
What a coinkydink. It's like Cloud Atlas up in this bitch.
Oh, man, who expected this? Nobody.
Yeah. If it was Cloud Atlas, though, it'd be way more interesting because, like, Mera would come back as a black lady and Aquaman would come back as fucking Chinese.
He'd come back as Tom Hanks.
Awesome. So, anyway, what's the next one?
Batgirl.
Batgirl, yes. Yeah, so,
I don't get this. Who's Ricky?
So in a previous arc, there was like the girl who was like accused of killing her family, and then she gave him like a weird supervillain superhero type thing who was going around killing fucking like criminals and shit.
Okay.
And so Ricky was a car thief because leg caught in a bear trap.
Oh fuck!
Then got his leg cut off.
Nah, that sucks.
Yeah, so Batgirl saved his life.
Okay.
In Batgirl Annual, I think they made out for a little while.
Okay.
I don't remember. It's been a while since I've read Batgirl number one. So anyway, with this one, it is. So Ricky is going around boosting cars to try to get Batgirl's attention,
as one would do.
Yeah, you know, if you want to get a superhero, break the law.
Yeah,
they always love that. Look at Batman and Catwoman.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Yeah,
Spider-Man and Black Cat.
Yeah,
yeah.
And another thing, Batman and the lady from the fucking Detective Comics, that was actually the White Rabbit.
And Talia.
Yeah, Talia.
Talia.
Oh my god.
Pretty much Batman and everybody he's ever had sex with.
Yeah, like 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, every other time they're a reporter. Which, they're basically evil.
They're, yeah.
I mean, look at us.
I'm okay.
Journalism is evil.
Journalism is the gateway to hell.
I'm okay.
Like, seriously, you know, actually, in order to get into hell, like,
you gotta write a thesis.
Fuck a thesis. You just gotta write one news article.
Yeah, you gotta write.
If you report on any news, you're going to hell.
That sucks.
Yeah, so
reviewers are worse. Like, we're definitely going to hell, because...
Oh, fuck yes.
You review shit, Steven. You're doomed.
Yeah.
What?
Congratulations, Steven, you're coming to hell with us.
Oh, man, I was doing so good.
You really weren't. Anyway.
I was okay.
Yeah, so anyway, so this guy's boosting cars, then mm-hmm. Batgirl shows up.
Okay.
Then she beats the fuck out of some people.
Oh.
Then they kiss.
Then ends okay.
Well, actually, it ends with Ricky making a proposition to Batgirl, saying, hey, so you don't want to tell me your secret identity? Fine. Here's what I want you to do. Just once, fine, just when you are in your regular human life, mm-hmm. if you see me, come up to me and ask me out.
Ah,
she agrees.
Ah,
then continuing on into Batgirl issue 17, she does run into him.
Ah,
what a coinkydink!
Oh, that's fantastic. This is gonna end only well for Batgirl.
It just, why is this? This must be just a one bullshit issue thing that has nothing to do with the entire nothing that has nothing to do with the rest of the fucking DC universe. Why did they make it canon?
I don't know.
Yes, then moving on to Nightwing?
Apollo and Midnighter.
Apollo and Midnighter, okay. They're gay.
Yep.
Moving on.
Okay, the next one's
Nightwing. I don't know anything about the fucking Stormwatch people.
Yeah.
So I kind of don't care.
Fair enough.
Yes, then moving on. What's next? Nightwing?
Nightwing,
okay. So, Nightwing being Nightwing,
mm-hmm.
they runs into a bear lady.
Awesome!
They hit it off, kind of.
Oh, that's nice.
Then she stands him up.
Ah, Nightwing. Your tight ass isn't going to get you out of this one.
Yeah.
Because he's got a tight rump.
Maybe you should have done more flips.
You should have done more flips, Nightwing.
Yeah.
You dick.
Get a trapeze. That'll impress her. Just be careful. Someone might try to shoot you. Anyway.
Yeah,
but here's the thing I don't really understand. I thought that Nightwing actually had a kind of girlfriend when he was like forming a relationship with the daughter of the guy who killed his parents.
In the circus?
Yeah.
The circus girl? I don't know. I think that ended something... because she was evil.
No, it didn't because she was evil. It was like
she was hanging around evil.
No, it was like they were. It was something to do with death of the family. Remember that?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she died.
No, she didn't die. She's still alive. It's just, it's like he was supposed to meet her for dinner or something, and then he was too busy not dying.
Yeah.
And she, like, broke up with him or something. Like, what is the hell? They had a relationship that they already had, like, established in the comics, that they could have done something with and actually made something out of. But nope, fuck it. Here's a black bear lady. Moving on.
Maybe all the writers of Young Romance were not told that it was in canon or not. So, like, the Nightwing people are like, it's not canon. And the Batgirl people are like, it is canon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, actually, I think Ray Fox might have written the Batgirl story.
Yes, he did.
Okay, and he's the writer of the next 2 issues of Batgirl.
Mm.
Which is 17 and 18, then Gail Simone comes back for 19, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole fucking debacle.
That was great.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just stay up at night and think about that. And
it's funny. Anyway, then, finally, Superman Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is retarded.
Because that relationship is stupid. It makes no sense.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm gonna break it down for you.
All right.
So, Superman Wonder Woman as Clark Kent and Lady. But people already know her superhero identity as Diana Wonder Woman. Mm. She's like Diana Wonder Woman of Themyscira. Or something. I don't know.
Has a name yet, actually.
But anyway, so Clark and Lady Diana, whatever the fuck her secret identity name is. I'm just gonna, fuck it, Diana Prince.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. So anyway, the two of them are out on a date. Diana doesn't have her glasses on.
Stupid.
Yeah. But her hair's up, so she's fine.
Oh! Who's that? I don't know.
Yeah, so they're out to dinner.
Okay.
Then two musicians come up on stage. They start singing. They say, like, we're really interested in couples, especially you two.
Oh, and it's them.
Yeah, points at them, and then they start doing magic, and then Clark suddenly is in a Superman outfit.
Oh.
And is desperately in love with them.
Oh.
Because magic.
Yes, because, yeah.
They're like the daughters of Apollo or something. I don't fucking know. And then Arrow shows up.
Okay.
Just out of nowhere.
Wait, who?
Eros.
Oh, okay.
That jackass with the scarf and the golden guns.
Yeah, I thought you said Arrow. I'm like, Green Arrow?
No, yeah, Green Arrow shows up.
That'd be cool.
Well, yeah, so Eros shows up. He's under the spell, too, for some reason. Diana lassos him and fixes him.
Just Diana.
Yeah. So then she lassos Superman, and that doesn't fix him for some reason, because I guess he's immune to her magic or something.
But he's not immune to that stupid other magic.
He's immune to...
He's not immune. He has no immunity to magic.
I know.
At all.
I know. That makes me... It's just so poorly defined.
Yeah, it's like she wraps up Eros. It's like Wonder Woman wraps up Eros, and then Eros is like, oh, fuck, what the hell happened? What am I doing here?
Yeah.
Then she wraps up Superman, and he's like, I don't want to hurt you, and punches her in the face.
I don't want to hurt you.
So then Eros shoots him, and that fixes him. But he does it after shooting the two twins in the chest, each. And they're in love with him.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what the hell Arrows is.
Oh, I think I get it. I think I get what's happening here. I think
from what I know of Arrows, like the only other Arrows person I know, I think, was from the fucking Marvel universe where he had sex with She-Hulk.
Hmm.
But like his power was to make everyone horny. And that was it. But
that's,
I guess
that's some power.
But I guess this Arrows has the power to like Nathan Drake people in love with him. Just two to the chest, and all of a sudden, I love you. Please take me. Just oh, I hate you, blap blap. Take me now.
Blap blap.
Yeah. Yeah, Young Romance is fucking retarded.
Give it a star review.
2.
Good.
Because the art's alright.
Okay.
Actually, 1.5. Art's not that good.
It's notable.
Yeah, so moving on to the thing that I actually am pleasantly surprised and excited about. Fairy Quest.
Mm?
Yes, I know.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so... It's a Grimm's fairy... It's a Grimm fairy tale type thing.
Oh.
Basically, okay. It's basically just taking like Grimm fairy tale characters and making their own story about them.
Okay.
Particularly in this one, there is, like, every fairy tale character that you know is actually does exist. They exist in their own world, which is governed by Grimm, one of the brothers, who actually sits like in like above the world, like the fucking Truman Show, and watches them. And each character, every day, has to play their story out over and over and over again for eternity. If they don't, then Grimm sends the Thought Police after them, which then throws them into a giant machine that sucks out all forms of their humanity. Or does something horrible to them. I don't actually know what the machine does. We've seen it used once on Cinderella. Because, hey, as it turns out, Prince Charming, kind of a dick.
Who'd have thunk?
So yeah, many universes set everyone. That up.
Yeah, it's actually really cool because like there's actually like a fairy tale anonymous meeting or something where all the fairy tale characters show up and then actually like try to go through their problems of they're just trying to like work through their problems and not go rogue. And like Cinderella, she's like giving her story. It's like every time I go to that ball, I just feel myself getting more and more depressed, and I just like feel myself getting less and less excited to see him every time I see him. Great. Wait, whenever I go to the castle, just like everything just turns to shit. He's such an asshole. But the main focus of the story is Little Red Riding Hood, who, as it turns out, is best friends with the Big Bad Wolf.
Stupid.
No, it's actually really good.
Oh, okay.
Like they first show up, Little Red Riding Hood's like skipping through the forest, going to see Grandma, and the Big Bad Wolf shows up, tries to eat her, and they both start laughing about it.
Oh, you.
Yeah, that's it. It's like the better to eat you with. Ah, I'm just fucking with you.
You got me again, Wolf. Look,
yeah, seriously, like they do fit well together in terms of best friend things.
Okay.
Well, if you were forced to do the same thing, interact with this person in the same way every single day for the rest of your fucking life, which is forever.
Yeah.
You'd get to be friends with that person. But yeah. I'm just gonna make a quick sort of comparison here. So it sounds like from what you're saying that this is kind of like Wreck-It Ralph, but with fairy tales.
I'm going to wreck it.
A little bit, actually, yeah. Now they mention it. Now that I'm actually thinking about it. Yeah, it is a bit like Wreck-It Ralph.
But fairy tales.
Yeah, there actually is like some kind of funny thing. Like so one bit when actually Red Riding Hood is sneaking off to like the meeting. Like it's like on a dark and stormy night. And so like the two of the Thought Police are hanging around. It's like, fuck, it's raining again. Why is it always a dark and stormy night? And then one of the guards is like, so there could be witches stories, man. Just chill the fuck out. We have to deal with this every day. Just deal with it.
Just deal.
Yeah, like, I am doing a horrible job of, like, paraphrasing this, but it's, in the book, it's really funny.
Okay.
It works well with what they set up. So anyway, yeah, this, and I'm just going to be looking up. Yeah, so it was written by Paul Jenkins, who I've never heard of before, but I do like him. He's really good at what he does. It's a really interesting story. And the art, done by one of my favorite artists, Humberto Ramos.
Yay!
Yeah, and actually looking at just the first page is actually a kind of like clever little callback. And the kid, so the mom is actually a mom reading the story of Little Red Riding Hood to her son. And her son's wearing a Spider-Man t-shirt.
Aww.
Yeah, and for some reason his mom has like PG-13 written across her boobs.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on there.
Hmm.
Yeah, so they're in the land of Fablewood.
Actually, sorry, I'm going to fix that reference for you. Means you can touch them, but the shirt's got to stay on. PG-13!
Okay.
Womp womp.
Okay. Well, actually, yeah, I was just looking at the thing. I actually found a... So I found the quote, that thing. So Little Riding Hood is, like, sneaking through the town. Two thought police are standing. I was like, it is a dark and stormy night, brother. And the other one says, this is Fablewood, brother. The nights are always dark and stormy, so the goblin tales may be told. You're actually giving, like, story reasons as to why all this bullshit is happening. Like, why it's always dark and stormy. While this is happening. And... yeah, this is a really great book. This is a really good take on like fairy tale lore. The art is fantastic, and I may just be overselling it because I was recently horribly mind raped by Grimm Fairy Tales. But yeah, definitely check out Fairy Quest. It's awesome. I love it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, Bavion, what have you been reading?
All right. First off, one that hardly counts. I read the Darksiders comic.
Woo!
It's an introduction to Darksiders.
Really? I never would
have
thought
that. They don't know their biblical lore.
Womp womp.
Yeah, like two of the fucking horsemen are Fury and Strife.
And one of them's a... I'm going to assume they don't really have gender, but it has tits, so...
Okay.
I'm going to say like, woman.
Like, that's not bad. Like, but...
yeah, that's not necessarily bad.
It's not necessarily bad. My only issue with it is when you hear Warren Death talking in the games, it's constantly, my brothers. Not my brothers and my one sister. Not my siblings. My brothers. Maybe. So, do they just not have genders and so they default to brothers? Or is she a man with tits?
Wait, didn't they do something like that in Thor, where Sif was like Thor called like the bunch of his brothers like the Warriors Three and Sif.
Yeah, he goes and Sif. That's a thing he does.
Yeah, well, it could just be brothers is kind of generic battle like comrade.
They're brothers in arms.
Yeah, brothers in arms.
Anyways, I don't know which one's Fury and which one's Strife, but it bothers me that neither of them is famine or pestilence.
Yeah, and actually, I've looked up some stuff in the Bible. Like, Pestilence is actually a new edition. Like, the original, it was, from what I know, it's Death, War, Famine, and the Conqueror. Like, a white horseman. Like the four horsemen of the apocalypse are actually some guy starts up a war, which then leads to death and famine.
Yeah, that's true. That's accurate.
Yeah, so even Pestilence is not actually accurate, but it's what people know, and I guess...
yeah.
Might as well go with it.
It also, it kind of depends on, like, there's a lot of translation and reading into things to actually make the Bible. So you could take a lot of things out of the Bible that...
So many translation errors, man. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen in the Bible someone saying they want to come in something.
Actually... read Sherlock Holmes and see how many times the word ejaculated comes up. Seriously, Watson must be coming in his pants all the time.
Well, I mean, if the modern takes of Sherlock Holmes or anything to be believed, Watson is constantly jizzing every time Holmes does something impressive.
Actually, yes, that is exactly when Doyle would write the words, I ejaculated. Seriously, read Sherlock Holmes, it's everywhere.
Oh god, there's ejaculate everywhere.
So anyways, it's pretty clear that everything in Darksiders is very loosely based on biblical lore, and you could almost say that it's set up in a way that the Bible is like a misrepresentation of it, which I think is kind of cool, but,
yeah, I'm guessing that the team over at Vigil, like, they read half of, like, the lore they actually needed to for the Bible and just made it the rest.
They only needed to read one of the books!
Yeah, exactly. But then the book they were reading it off a PDF. But then by the time they got halfway through it, like in order like they only had like so much time for research. They got through half of the book, then it got corrupted. And in order to, like, actually find the new file, download and stuff, it would take too long. And, like, no one reads books anymore.
Anyways, so, like, most of it just shows the Chard Council being dicks.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the Chard Council are rocks.
Yeah, and when someone who didn't do something wrong reports that something went wrong, they explode them.
Yeah. They shoot the messenger.
Yes, they most definitely shoot the messenger. And then they take the messenger's sister and start giving them orders.
Okay.
It's like, hey, Watcher, go get War. He's fucked up.
Wait, the Watcher is someone's sister?
Once again, I have no idea if they actually have genders, but...
The Watcher's a guy. The Watcher's voiced by Mark Hamill, isn't he? Isn't that what happened? Isn't that the guy from the first game?
Entirely possible. Actually, he may refer to the other one as his sister. It was a bit confusing the way they set it up. Like, the art style, slightly confusing in this comic.
So maybe what you're seeing is tits, but actually just, I don't know.
No, those are definitely tits. That's right on the cover.
Okay.
Nothing confused about that. Like, if I open this up, I look at the cover.
Tits.
Tits. Like, well-rounded, kind of oddly stiff tits. Like, they don't look like they move at all. They're just, like, sticking out. Gravity seems to be not affecting them. I don't know which one's Fury and which one's Strife, but one of them's got guns.
Probably
and
Fury.
Then the other one has tits. Guns or tits, that's your options.
Why can't we all just have both?
Anyways, moving on from that, I've read up to issue 3 of Lock and Key, Crown of Shadows. So, a couple things. One, Kinsey, she's fucking nuts.
Well, I could have told you that.
Yeah, you did mention that. She's kind of nuts.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you take out 2 parts of your psyche, you're going to have some problems.
She's kind of entertaining, and because of her change, another really big thing is that the comic has started to address some serious issues. Yeah. Like stuff that wasn't really brought up in the past 2 ones. For example, well, stuff that wasn't very much focused on gets a little more focused in this, like the fact that their mother is a raging alcoholic.
Yes.
Her depression, her thoughts of suicide...
Has she found like the like fixing cabinet key yet?
I don't think so.
Wait till you get to that scene. It's awesome.
Anyways, like it gets so bad that she's literally calling Ty from a bar to say, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna be late coming home. I'll drive the long way." And he's like, "Oh no, don't worry about it." And she's in a bar getting wasted.
Hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. Mother of the Year goes to Miss Locke.
Yeah, so, she's a raging alcoholic, and this kind of deals with that more. And, of course, Dodge is causing shit.
Yeah, Dodge being Dodge.
And Sam tried to kill Dodge while he was dead. To put this in perspective, Dodge used the ghost key and Sam tried to kill his ghost.
Yeah.
With a ghost chainsaw.
Yeah. And Sam was also a ghost. And ghosts are weird.
I love ghosts.
And then they were both in Dodge's body and they were... You know that scene from Liar Liar when Jim Carrey beats the shit out of himself? It was kind of like that.
Yeah. Oh, good God, man. This... Fucking Key is awesome.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see more of the fallout from Kinsey, like, removing those parts of her psyche, because...
Yeah, it gets, she ends up hurting some people.
Well, she's already almost gotten some people killed.
more emotional damage than physical damage. Because, you know,
if you're never sad and never afraid, you'll fuck some people up, yeah.
Yeah. Especially if they're British. Or fake British, or to look like fucking... look like some weird, like, Sid Vicious knockoff. Anyway.
What?
I don't know, dude. Moving on.
Yeah, that's all that I've been reading, so...
Okay, so, Steven! What you been reading, brother?
Okay, so I got four things. Three of them fit in a theme I'm going to talk about, but the first one doesn't fit because, anyways, it's The Fearless Defenders, number one.
Yes, what do you think of it?
It's so boring. It's like a lot of action happens, but it's all really boring. And then there's a lesbian kiss, which was fine, but it was just very like, look at this.
I don't remember the lesbian kiss, and I've read that.
Yeah, the girl, the architect girl, not architect.
Oh, right, yes, her!
Yeah, the girl who's just kind of like, kind of dorky and like sassy. She's actually pretty cool, actually.
The archaeologist who's super into Valkyrie.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. But it was just very like out of the blue.
Yeah.
Like it was like, we've had a lot of action going on. No, it would be good here. A kiss with two girls. Are you interested, teenage boys? The answer is yes.
Yeah. Colin Bunn knows what you like.
Yes. But, like, I don't know. It was just kind of, like, stale. I'm probably going to get issue two.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, I don't like Misty, the black girl.
Yeah, Misty Knight, I think.
Yeah, I don't like her, but I like Valkyrie.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to like the rest of this ever-growing cast, I think.
Danny Moonstar is going to be joining next.
I think she's cool. I don't think I've ever read anything with her. But she's a X-Men.
Yeah, she was, I think, New Mutants.
Yeah. So, anyways, I don't know. Fierce Defenders is just kind of like, okay.
What do you think of the art?
I don't like the faces.
Because looking at it now, the art is...
the eyes are weird.
Off.
There's one particular panel. There's a couple panels with the girl, the lesbian girl. She always has weird facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when she's like, I'm coming with you guys. Her face looks weird.
Yes, the art was done by Will Sliney.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's really weird, so, like, four pages in, after, like, the credit page and, like, the whole thing with Valkyrie raining blood.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's like there's three layers. It's like, on that second panel, there are, like, three layers of art happening.
Mm-hmm.
You got, like, right up in the foreground, you got just dudes who are, like, heavily shadowed and look kind of like shit. Then you got the guys in the middle who are just, you know, regular everything and they look fine. And you got the guys in the background, which everything is blurry as hell.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's supposed to be, like, depth of field, but it's really choppy. It's really choppily layered depth of field.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't they get the guy to... like, this is another example, like, talking about what we were earlier. This is another example of the cover art being way much better than what's happening in the interiors.
Yeah, no, I thought the cover looked awesome. I bought it. Half because I was like, man, that cover's gorgeous.
Yeah, like, fuck it.
There's ninjas on it and zombies.
Why couldn't Mark Brooks have done the fucking art?
I don't understand.
Neither do I, dude.
I don't understand comics. You guys just trick and lie. You're just full of tricks and lies and lesbian kisses.
Yeah.
So you guys got one thing. Anyways, I can move on. So guys, here's a little tip for you guys. Life is sad and cruel.
And?
And, comedian number 5 of 6.
You're still reading Before Watchmen?
I'm reading all of them.
Why?
I expect you to do a very in-depth analysis of Before Watchmen when this is all done.
I'm going to. I'm going to write I'm not going to write anything. Who am I kidding? I'm just going to, like, I don't know.
Yes. It's like,
I don't write things.
It's like, I'm going to write something. And like, 7 days later, dude, you going to write the thing? Oh, yeah, sorry, I will.
I'm busy. I'm making a movie.
I'm running a website, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so...
I'm learning CSS coding.
The comedian. This issue is the best issue of comedian.
And that it's only just tolerably terrible?
Yeah, it's all about how comedian is a dick. And like he kills a bunch of people, I think.
You need an entire issue to show that Nagini's a dick.
We need a whole miniseries about it. We need a 6-issue miniseries telling us the comedian isn't a nice fellow.
Yes, and telling him he's a nice fellow wrongly, I might add. Incorrect.
Yeah, using like the wrong kind of. Anyway, so what happened?
Killed JFK.
Yeah, he should have killed JFK.
He did kill JFK.
Yeah, he did.
These books aren't canon.
These aren't, no. The guy, what the hell's his name? Dave Gibbons even said they're not canon. He was doing an interview, and he's like, yeah, the movie, the video game, and the comics that aren't Watchmen aren't canon.
I only accept Silk Spectre as canon.
Yeah.
That's the only one that makes any goddamn sense within the overall thing of the story.
Yeah, but this one, like, there's war happening, and, like, guys, did you know that war sucks? Because the comedian knows that.
I thought war was baller.
Ballin'!
Honestly, local recruitment office is to be believed. Like, there's roller coasters at a water park and girls in bikinis.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's all true. So, like,
Yvonne
I'm all
Neon.
Over that shit.
Yvonne, that's great. Anyways, continuing with the series of comics I read that tell me life is sad, Superior Spider-Man number, was it that 3?
Yeah, that one.
So, guys, you know what sucks? Child abuse.
Yeah. Turns out, has that ever been established before that Doc Ock was abused as a child?
No, I don't think that's ever, like, we've never learned about his crappy life, I think.
God damn it, Dan Slott, just move on to your next story. I said he'd be good again.
Like, this one was okay, because I like to see Otto be, like, really mad. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I just...
He, like, totally just, like, what are you doing? I can make you, like, he offers the Vulture a bunch of money, and it's like, you can quit being a villain. I have money. And the Vulture's like, you're just kidding, Spider-Man. And then he, like, beats up his minions, and he's like, your minions are kids? I'm going to destroy you. And he throws him into a light, like a bat signal-esque light that Jonah Jameson made.
Yeah, Jonah Jameson made a spider light.
Which was kind of funny.
Spider signal.
Yeah, he's like, why would you want a spider signal? Everyone will know where I am. And he's that's true.
Yeah, God damn it, J. Jonah Jameson. Why do you have to be so awesomely stupid?
So Otto throws the Vulture into the light and, like, totally, like, literally destroys this old man. And now Carly Cooper's like, something's up.
Yeah, you see, it's moments like the destruction of the light, and actually the concept of light, that make me really hate the parts of Dan Slott's writing that suck.
Yeah.
Because just...
The light was set up just so he could break it.
Yeah, that was awesome, but seriously, Carly Cooper.
Carly Cooper.
A cop and a scientist is too stupid to realize, hey, something's up with Peter.
This guy's being a dick. He's not normally like this.
Mary Jane Watson. Fucking MJ.
Yeah, they're pretty much married.
Yeah, they were together for years.
Yeah.
At least a decade, I'm guessing.
Yeah, at least.
And, like, they went through a miscarriage together, maybe.
They went through a lot of junk.
Yeah, like, even before Mephisto came in and erased their marriage.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of stuff.
They did some shit before they got married, but still, like they went through all that shit, and MJ still can't fucking tell the difference.
Huh, Peter's acting kind of weird. Oh, well.
MJ, you got cancer from his spider semen.
Oh, that's in the future.
Fuck that, no. Fuck that noise. It happened.
I like that story a lot, though. Yeah.
You got cancer from a spider semen. Once that happens, you shouldn't be able to be fooled by someone else pretending to be that person.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's not even trying.
Not even trying!
He's literally just be like, I'm a villain. I'm building robots. Please leave me alone.
Remember that dinner that you guys had where you had the Bluetooth headset on, was drinking, you was staring at your boobs the entire time?
Yeah.
That should have given you multiple warning signs.
She probably didn't notice because she's pretty much an idiot in this story. She's holding the idiot ball.
She points it out. She's like, hey, are you listening to me? What do you have the headset on? Are you sure you should be drinking?
And he's like, nope, I don't care. Leave me alone.
It's like, bitch, chill the fuck out. I'm just getting my drink on.
The night's still young. LOL, LOL. Yeah.
Ruffle.
Rufflecopter, bitch.
God damn it.
Man, get good, just like...
Get good again, Dan Slott. Bring back Humberto Ramos.
It's like, I look at this, and I'm like, this should be good. I should be enjoying this. And sometimes I am, but then it's stuff like when, like, it's just so much stuff happens.
Yeah, it's...
Everything happens so much.
Yeah, I like the bit where, like, Doc Ock actually has a superhero quota.
Huh?
Like,
or when he's like sends all the robots out?
No, there's a bit where he's like, so he sends a bunch of robots out. He stops like four or five crimes. He's like, well, I'm done for the night.
Oh yeah, he just like stops.
Yeah, and then Peter's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
There's a building on fire. He's like, not my problem.
It's like I've already met my quota for tonight. Spider-Man away.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was clever.
That was a good bit, but then it jumps right back into the bullshit.
I like the flashback stuff that, like, Peter's going through, like, watching all this stuff.
It's interesting. Like, there are interesting ideas happening here, but it's surrounded by so much bullshit.
I know. Why would you use children? I've always preyed on the young.
Ah!
That's my vulture voice. Anyways.
You sound kind of like me. I've always preyed on the young.
We're Spider-Man.
Yes. Every time we do a villain voice now, we have to do the Bane voice.
Where's my? If I had my mug ready, I could.
Every villain.
That's great every because villain. I'm going to talk about the Joker.
Yes, Batman 17.
So, Batman 17.
Fucking 17.
I'm not happy.
It was underwhelming.
Yeah, it was a letdown. I wanted someone to die.
Yeah, Cliff. That's how it ended. A cliff.
Yeah. Oh, no, it ended on Ha.
It ended on Ha, but...
And then a fly.
But, I mean, like, the actual, like...
The threat ended at Cliff.
Yeah, the previous... Yeah, the second act ending.
Yes. The climax.
Yes. It ended with a cliff.
Yeah, that was dumb. What a dumb thing.
Yeah, and, like, it had a good setup with, like...
I wanted him to either kill the Joker or, like... Robin die. I wanted Robin to die.
Yeah, but like from the dialogue when he was talking, when he was having him over the cliff, it sounded like he was going to kill him.
I know. He's like, he pretty much says, I'm literally going to kill you.
But then he like slips or something.
Yeah, yeah. He gets acid in his face.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but if I killed you, then I'd be evil. And he's like, no, you wouldn't. And he's like, whoops, you fell.
Yeah. And they had a pretty good setup with like the two-headed cat that exploded and then released Joker toxin that like got the entire family almost killing each other.
That was cool.
That was good. But then no, it's just Alfred repeating family, 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 and then they're fine.
That was dumb. It's
totally fine.
I was actually when I saw all their faces were ripped off, I actually was freaking out.
I was like,
what's gonna happen?
Yeah, like,
their faces are all ripped off.
Yeah, I was like that for a second, then I realized, oh wait, no, their faces aren't off.
Yeah, I was like, but I saw the covers of the next issue. Their faces aren't off.
Yeah, like...
It scared me. It scared me.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like... What I'm just wondering is, what was under... What was actually on the serving tray before? Because, like, remember, so when Batman was, like, first taken out in issue 16,
mm-hmm.
then, like, Penguin and Two-Face were like, okay, let's kill the fucker. And then Joker's like, fuck you, no. And then he pulls up the serving tray and then shows them what's in it.
Probably showed them a face. Like one of the faces.
Yeah, but whose face? And what? Like, why aren't they like, oh, dude, that is awesome! Or something like that. It's like,
because they're probably like, Joker, you ripped off, like, in my brain, it was probably like Robin or someone. And they're like, you ripped off a young child's face.
Yeah, but then what was in these serving trays in every other tie-in issue?
Probably someone else's face.
We never see them. It's usually the person is unconscious, then here's a tray.
Maybe he got the tray to be about to put their face on it. Like, I'm going to put... Oh, wait, it's not their faces.
Yeah, he'd already have their face.
Maybe he showed them, like, hey, this is your face.
He opens up the tray, and it says, like, Robin's face goes here.
Maybe like because they can't see their own face necessarily. He could be like, hey, guess what? I have your face.
They're unconscious. Every one of them is unconscious.
Oh, I know. The Joker's crazy.
And?
And that's it. He's just crazy.
That can only get you so far, damn it.
I know. Just, I'm really sad nobody died. Like, at the end, everyone's okay, but they're all kind of, like, annoyed with each other at the end.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. Like, why didn't they go hang out with Batman?
Yeah, like, I will say this.
Did Tim masturbate? Oh, no.
I will say this. The actual ending...
Yeah.
...was great.
It was kind of, like he's like, I got a text from Tim. Tim's not coming. No, same with Barbara.
No, the ha.
The ha? I don't know. I don't get it. Is the fly the Joker?
No, like, the zooming on the fly was just, hey, a fly.
Oh, yeah. Because there's flies around Joker.
But the ha. I really like... I just really like that.
That was
just
clever.
Like, you're just like, okay, so we'll actually use this weird new element. Let's look it up. Just ha. And then like, Batman just slumps back down in his chair. Just, like, looking fucking dejected. Then just slowly zooms in panel by panel on ha.
Yeah, that was clever.
I really like that. That was the best part of that entire issue.
I like, I don't know what I like. I just like how all his, like, his pretty much family is just all like, I don't want to hang out. I don't want to be Batman's friend anymore.
Yeah.
This is too much.
Yeah, it's like, we put up this shit for years, but now, too much.
Yeah. I like how Jason is at a bar, actually. That's kind of, that's good. And, like, Barbara's drinking tea and all that.
Like, this. That's the thing, like, with Jason, like, he fucking died.
Yeah.
He died, came back, was trained by weird, like, nether realm assassins, mm-hmm. and yet being tied to a chair and Joker toxined is too much for him.
Yeah. I think everyone's just really upset. Like, they're all, because probably none of them got Joker toxined before.
I highly doubt that.
Yeah. There is a new theory out that there's more than one Joker. Because, like, if you look in the comic, when Bruce sees Joker in the jail,
mm-hmm.
he's got, like, Heath Ledger-esque scars.
Does he, though? I don't remember this. I don't remember actually seeing scars.
Like, they're, like, all, his face is all messed up.
Yeah, because the Joker's face is supposed to be messed up.
Yeah, but it's, like, not messed up in the way it was through the entire, like, book, yeah. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't think it's supposed to be anything, but, like, I don't know. I thought it was good. It just was like, I was just really let down that nobody died.
Yeah, but, like, no one actually dying. Like, it was, like, it's called Death of the Family. You expect someone to die. Like, while I wouldn't actually be okay with it,
mm-hmm.
I would have liked it if Alfred had died.
Alfred dying would make me the saddest. Tim dying would make me the maddest. And Damien dying would be me being like, I'm okay with that. Ah! It's like, I dropped my comic.
Okay.
Almost into the trash.
But yeah, like... It's called Death of the Family.
Yeah. Though, it might be because none of them want to hang out with Batman anymore.
So the family dynamic is dead.
Yeah.
Death not of the family. Really. Not death in the family.
Well, it's...
Death of the family.
Well, the family dynamic will be dead for this issue.
Yeah, because they still all have, like, Bat and whatever in their name.
Yeah. Like, actually, just so I'm looking over the issue now, and...
Yeah.
I now remember why, like, I remember, like, actually why Joker sprayed the poisonous shit in Batman's face. No, it wasn't the poison, he had a joy buzzer in his hand.
Yeah.
He joy buzzered him in the mouth.
Yeah.
So, I now remember, I now know why Joker actually did that, and that makes a bit of sense.
Yeah.
Because, at the end when they were, like, explaining all that stuff, and Joker was saying, and Batman was saying, like, I saw Joker at Arkham as Bruce Wayne. I'm guessing he knew it was me, but he didn't care. He didn't care who I was behind the mask.
Yeah, which is an important, like, Joker thing. Yeah. I always thought that made the most sense.
Yeah, and so then, like, Batman, like, has him over the cliff. Excuse me. And then he's, like, actually starting, like, actually about to tell Joker who he was before he was the Joker.
Uh-huh.
Because he knows now.
Yeah.
And then just before he gets to it, he just, like, actually kind of giving into Joker's manager, like, let me whisper it into your ear, darling.
Weird. That's so weird. Well, I hate it when Batman does a Joker thing.
It's
like in Killing Joke when he laughs.
Yeah, I really like that.
That's so scary.
I really loved it.
Yeah, I did too, but it's scary.
Yeah, it's fucking scary, but it fits.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, like he's going whispering into his ear who Joker was before he was live, and he's like, okay, fuck you, buzzer in the mouth.
Yeah.
And the Batman just walks it off like nothing. Like, I've seen those buzzers kill people, but I've seen those things like touch the hand and kill somebody, but in the mouth, fuck, he's fine. He's Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he has the fucking, like, this will probably be the point where he actually gets the Christian Bale voice.
I got a buzzer in my mouth.
Yeah. It's like, whoa.
Joker, maybe speak. Like this.
Where's Emperor Penguin? It's like, dude, why are you talking like that? Sorry, I got like electric buzzer in the mouth a few days ago. I'm still kind of working it out. Sorry. Where's Emperor Penguin? For those who don't know, when Penguin left to go be part of the Death of the Family thing, his bodyguard took over the crime business and became Emperor Penguin.
That's a dumb name.
It really is. Even his hair is stupid.
His hair is stupid.
His hair is set up in a way that it has those two little like yellow strands that jut off to the side like they do on some penguins.
Yeah. That's dumb. Jared, dumb as balls.
Yeah, so, moving on.
Yep, I'm done.
Okay, so, time for news.
Whoa!
Yeah, so, first up, a press release was released about The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I'm confirming some plot details as well as some casting. Most notably, the addition of Colm Feore. Those who know, he's a actor.
Yes.
He was in The Chronicles of Riddick as the guy who could do that really stupid power thing that made no sense. His power in the thing was that a ghost version of himself would run to where the guy was going to run before he ran there. That was his power. His power
and it
was,
gets him killed.
His power was he shows his enemies where he's moving to.
And for some reason it makes him really hard to kill.
Yeah, I have no idea what the fuck that's about. But anyway, so many people are believing that Colm Feore is going to be playing Harry Osborn's daddy.
Yeah.
Which
I think that.
Yeah, which okay, but doesn't Norman Osborn in this world have hair? Because we saw a silhouette of him in the first movie and he had hair.
But he does say he's dying, so maybe he has cancer.
It'll still be Colm Feore in a really weird looking wig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
Yeah. And anyway, so let's reveal some plot details. It said, in The Amazing Spider-Man Trademark 2,
Trademark 2.
Yeah. For Peter Parker, life is busy. Between taking out the bad guys of Spider-Man and spending time with the person he loves, Gwen, high school graduation can't come quickly enough.
Oh, they're graduating.
Yeah. Peter hasn't forgotten about the promise he made to Gwen's father to protect her by staying away, but that's a promise he just can't keep. Probably because he wants some of that ass.
Yeah.
Hey! Things will change for Peter when a new villain, Electro, emerges, an old friend, Harry Osborn, returns, and Peter uncovers new clues about his past. Also, Paul Giamatti's the Rhino.
Maybe. We don't know that yet.
You're still just holding out hope that they realize that that was all just bullshit, it's just J. Jonah Jameson now.
He hasn't said anything that he's playing the Rhino.
Aside from
honestly, though, for JJJ, I really want to see J.K. Simmons come back. Because, like,
yeah.
Even if you're rebooting, he's so perfect for the role.
Yeah, and he has said, hey, you want me? I'll be there.
Yeah. I don't know. Just, like, no one explicitly has said he's playing Alex O'Hearn or the Rhino
Every Rhino. Has.
Yeah, but they're all like, he might be playing the Rhino.
Oh, well. So moving on to next piece of news.
Mm-hmm.
A teaser image has been released for Ultimate Comics Spider-Man issue 23, which is the classic image. Well, translate classic in this case as really overused image of him throwing away a Spider-Man costume in a trash can.
Spider-Man no more!
Yeah, which, thinking about it, I've realized is the absolute worst way to get rid of a superhero costume if you have a secret identity.
Yeah, just throw it away.
Yeah, just throw it in the trash. No one will find it, turn it to the police so they can pull DNA or fingerprints out of it. Figure out who you are and let arrest you for vigilantism.
I don't know if that'd be, like, a person's first, like, move, though. Like, if I found, like, if I lived in New York and I found Spider-Man's costume...
It would happen.
It might have. I don't know. I would have, like, sold it or kept it for myself.
Yes, you would have sold it, and then somehow the police would have found out about it and got their hands on it.
True.
It would eventually find the way to get their hands into the police or in the hands of some one of Spider-Man's villains.
Yeah, Doc Ock.
Yeah, or in the hands of somebody who wants him dead.
But no, what? I'm surprised but, hasn't happened yet.
What? Who?
Superior Spider-Man no more. I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened yet.
Issue 5.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Just hitting every single trademark. Just...
You gotta hit them all before Peter comes back.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
Spider-Man.
Doc Ock. I don't really be Spider-Man anymore.
Everyone found out I'm a villain. Womp womp.
Fuck, I'm going back to Doc Ock. Just straps on the arms, cuts hair into a really stupid bowl cut.
Womp womp.
But he still has the Bluetooth headset. And is still staring at Mary Jane's boobs.
Beebs. And she still doesn't realize he's Doc Ock.
Yeah.
Peter, why are you being Doc Ock? I don't understand.
Peter, you're acting very strange.
It's just Mary Jane, come on. You're burning this.
Yeah, so moving on to the next piece of news. So at a recent earnings call, let's see, who the fuck is this guy's name? John K. Martin, the chief financial and administrative officer for Time Warner, has announced that the next Arkham game will be coming out this year.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Arkham World.
No.
Arkham Universe, Arkham Space.
Arkham Silver Age.
Is that what it's going to be, or is that a rumor?
Everyone has, like, it's been kind of, like, knowledge out there for a while that everyone's, like, all people, like, making the game want it to be set in the Silver Age. We haven't actually gotten any concrete evidence about it.
I'd play that.
Yeah, so, anyway, Martin said at the earnings call, and we also have a strong games release this year, which will include the next release in the Batman Arkham franchise. So all in all, we expect Warners to post another strong year in 2013, and with a little luck, the year should be as good, or maybe even a little bit better, than 2012. So I do actually hope that the game turns out well. Because Arkham City was...
I heard it's okay.
It wasn't anywhere as good as Asylum.
The best part of Arkham City was just the ending. Like,
yeah, the ending was fucking fantastic. Steven, I think you might like it, like in terms of like the character thing of what's happening between Batman and Joker there. It's really fucking awesome.
I wish I had game. Like, I have a Wii.
Oh, so you poor...
No games for me.
You poor, poor man.
I'm just going to play Lego Batman some more.
You poor, poor...
Which actually is a great game.
You poor, poor, poor man.
Steven, I am poor. Don't move. I'm going to come over there and beat you over the head with, I don't know, like an Xbox 360 controller?
With my Wii?
We'll beat you with your Wii and replace it with a 360. Then we'll steal the money in order to pay for it from you.
What about my Sega Genesis?
Keep that. That's badass.
Beat with that.
It is.
Beat with that and get you a SNES.
No, I like my Sega Gen. Anyways, I don't know. I want to get an Xbox.
You cannot play Sonic on a SNES.
Yeah, no. Sonic.
Aladdin. It's way better on the SNES.
I love Aladdin.
It's way better on the SNES.
Aladdin.
Yeah. The Nintendo is, but the Genesis isn't. What? So, anyway, moving on to NSP's news. Yeah. The Deadpool video game from Activision High Moon will be coming out this summer.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah, I know, Steven, you probably don't care about this, but...
Mm.
Bovi.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Like, from what I saw in the game trailer, they seem to be doing Deadpool pretty well.
Yeah, it's... Deadpool is kind of a site favorite character.
I really hope, like, all of the Deadpool isms are done as well throughout the entire game.
Well, Daniel Way is writing it.
I want the boxes to be a gameplay mechanic.
Yeah, just what, the moral choice system with the boxes?
That'd be cool.
You know what? No, you cannot have a moral choice system. You cannot have a moral choice system in a Deadpool game.
Deadpool
doesn't. It'd always choose the less moral.
Deadpool doesn't have morals. Or like it'd be funny if they actually did like if they actually did have like the two boxes like show up like pop up to like give you more choices, but they're both the same choice.
Or like you can't pick the moral choice.
No, it's like they're both the same choice. And then you like Deadpool's like, wait a minute, they're both the same choice. Which one's like the good one? Which one's the bad one? It's like, I don't fucking know.
They're both the Deadpool choice.
Yeah. Is it moving on to NXT news?
Go ahead. Yeah. We'll just move on.
Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah, so Bryan Singer announced on Twitter that Peter Dinklage of the Game of Thrones has been added to the cast of X-Men: Days of Future Past.
Someone.
The villain.
Yeah, the villain. It might be
Trask.
Yeah. Because there will be Sentinels in the movie.
That's what everyone's thinking. They're thinking that this guy, Peter Dinklage will be. Singer tweeted, officially like to welcome hashtag Peter Dinklage from hashtag Game of Thrones to hashtag X-Men, hashtag Days of Future Past. Very, very excited.
Hashtag. Hashtag Bryan Singer, hashtag spoilers, hashtag.
Yeah. Hashtag Sentinels, bitch.
Hashtag, I'm paying more attention to Twitter than my movie, hashtag.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hashtag tie in with Game of Thrones. They'd be great if
they actually... Maybe they travel in time to Game of Thrones.
No, like Peter Dinklage just shows up as like there because it turns out he's actually a mutant.
In Game of Thrones?
Yeah, that'd be the thing. Like, it turns out like he's actually just a mutant. That's why, like, because of like his dwarfism and stuff and everything that's happening, it turns out Peter Dinklage was actually Tyrion Lannister was a mutant who then lived long enough to see the world turn into Days of Future Past. It'll be retarded, but it'll be awesome.
So many people would be mad.
Tyrion Lannister in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah! Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
I'm actually really excited for this movie.
Future Past, motherfuckers!
I'm so excited for the Days to Future the Past.
I can't wait for the past to become the future in Days.
I still don't understand that title.
I don't know.
Like, it's like the day in the future has passed because it's continuing the future.
I don't fucking know what's going on with that anymore.
But I'm excited for the movie. And I know when people see it and like go to the theater, they're like, I'd like to see future past days.
Yeah.
And just like have no idea what the movie's called.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Jetsons.
I'm still mad there isn't a live action Jetsons.
Because it's the future past.
Yeah, I get it.
So anyway,
it was good.
Moving on to NXT News. So, some time ago at, I believe it was, let me see here, at New York Comic Con, Dynamite Entertainment announced that Brian Buccoletto, who is the current co-writer and colorist for The Flash, will be writing a new series based around Black Bat.
Oh, yeah. Not the DC Comics Black Bat.
No, this is a different Black Bat. I'm pretty sure this guy actually predates Batman.
Maybe. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, we have some more details about that. So, Black Bat, number one, is set for release on May 2013. The interiors will be drawn by Ronan Cliquette, who's the guy who's done work on The Green Hornet, The Shadow Special, and a couple of the Marvel books. It'll have covers drawn by people like J. Scott Campbell, Joe Benitez, Adrian Sioff, and Billy Tan. And some other stuff. I'm just looking over this. I'm just kind of looking over this for the first time. Well, anyway, actually, so this also gives a bit of a backstory on who the Black Bat is. So I'm just going to read it verbatim. So, in the series, Tony Quinn is a brash defense attorney for the mob who has no problems compromising his ethics for financial gain. When he refuses to cross a line and commit a murder, he is tortured and blinded by his gangster employers. He's given a chance to make amends when he happens to meet with a covert agency. This leads him to gaining the dark mantle of the Black Bat. He's now determined to right the wrongs of his past.
There's a lot that seems wrong with that origin story. First of all, what a stupid criminal organization. I mean, you've got a defense lawyer who has no morals and is able to actually keep you well defended, and you're going to make him commit murder? You're going to risk putting him in jail? What a stupid fucking move.
Yes,
why?
Idiotic.
Why?
Because they're the mob. They're not smart.
Yeah, don't you know all criminals are like, duh, what we do, boss? And they're like, get out into the field, you morons.
Yeah, the boss is the only smart one. I'm guessing he was sick that day.
Yeah. It's the Shredder from the 80s.
You didn't sound nearly enough like the guy, like Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
What?
Fresh Prince.
Oh, is it the same guy?
Yeah, the guy who did the voice of the Shredder in the 1980s Ninja Turtles cartoon was the same guy who did the voice, the same guy who played Uncle Phil on fucking Fresh Prince.
Oh my god, you learn something new every day.
Yeah. So, moving on. So, Black Mass Studios, I guess, launched recently. This is a transmedia publishing company.
Ugh.
Founded by Steve Niles, who's a comic book writer who wrote 30 Days a Night and stuff. Entrepreneur in transmedia production. Shingle Halo 8's Matt Pizzola. And the guitarist from Bad Religion, Brett Gurewitz. So, and then they also brought in a bunch of like pretty big names to work on some of their titles, such as Alan Moore, David Lloyd, Art Spiegelman,
ooh,
Chris Aldred, and Chris Adlard, Mike Ulred, Ben Templesmith, J.M. Demadius, Molly Crabapple, and Wu-Tang Clan's RZA and Ghostface Killa.
The RZA. Amazing.
Let's hope this comic that he's working on isn't as bad as Man with the Iron Fists.
I've heard mixed reviews.
It's not very good.
Mm. The RZA.
Yeah. So, and all these books that people are working on are not based on superheroes. At all.
What an age we live in.
Yeah, so Pizzola said about the company, I guess Pizzola or whatever the fuck his name is. I was going to call him Piz.
Pizza Lover.
So Pizzola. Pizza Olo.
Pizza Pops.
Pizza Oreo said.
So what did Pizza the Hut say? Just get to it.
Okay. Yeah, so Jabba the Hut said, the way we put together the slate is with wanting to push the boundaries of what can be done with comics. He noted that the company will operate under the mottos, to create you must destroy, and inspire never meddle. So I guess tear down regular like preconceptions of certain art, of certain like kinds of story to make new ones, and make new shit, never make old shit new.
That's nice of them.
Yeah. He continued, one of our chief goals is to expand the audience of comics. We're trying to do this by bringing in different sensibilities, like Wu-Tang Clan.
The RZA.
Yeah. Like hard sci-fi and futurism, and with madcap energy. Remember books like Transpopolitan? You don't see much of that today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, the first book, which will be hitting stores on May 1st, will be the Occupy Comics Anthology. A politically themed three-issue miniseries whose first issue reunites Moore with Lloyd. Lloyd, for the first time since the two created the anarchist V for Vendetta in the 1980s.
Grown.
Yeah. Some of the money raised by this comic will be going towards Occupy-related initiatives. So remember, kids, you buy this comic, you support those assholes hanging out in tents who smell horrible. That's all I know about the fucking Occupy movement.
Yeah,
so RZA and Ghostface Killa will be making a series called 12 Reasons to Die. Yeah, so the series will, as this thing says, show off Black Mask's transmedia leanings, and it'll have a storyline that is told partly in comic form and partly in music form.
Hmm.
As it is timed with the release of Ghostface Killa's new album.
The RZA.
I didn't even say the RZA, I said Ghostface Killa.
I know, but I'm still laughing about the RZA.
Yeah, so the series is described as a brutal tale of gangsters' betrayal and one vengeful soul hunting for the 12 most powerful crime lords in the world.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it'll be drawn by rotating artists throughout the series run, including Tim Seeley from Hackslash and Riley Rossmo from Bedlam. And it'll be coming out May 29th. June 19th, we'll see the release of The Liberator from writer Matt Miner and artist Joel Gomez. And it'll be a vigilante series about two young heroes who avenge the torture of animals. 30% of the book's profit from the 4-issue miniseries will go towards animal rescue efforts.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't say PETA.
Yeah, fuck PETA.
Yeah, if you had said PETA, I would have flipped my shit.
Yeah. I'm guessing they realize that PETA's... Like, I'm guessing
the worst?
The general public is starting to realize that PETA's evil.
They're so
yes.
weird.
Not just weird. They're fucking evil.
Yeah.
They're bad people.
Yeah. They kill 90% of the animals they rescue.
They do!
There were cases where they went to a veterinarian's office and he said, I could keep these animals if I really have to, but if you could find them homes, that'd be great. They're like, oh yeah, we'll go find them homes. And killed them in the parking lot.
There's a lady who works at PETA. I think she's like a chair or something, or president. And she's like, when I die, I want my skin to be used for like purses and stuff. And I want people to eat my body.
No, I don't want to get gas. I'm guessing that purse will give you a horrible rash and fall apart like 2 days after you got it. And if you actually eat her, it will cause horrible indigestion problems.
Oh my god, there's so much wrong with like that would happen.
Yeah. So finally, last series that'll be coming out where all the profits go towards the company and the guys making it is Ballistic. Written by Derek Robertson, who co-created The Boys and Transmetropolitan. And indie filmmaker Adam Egypt Mortimer. I don't know who the fuck he is. Maybe you know, Steven, you're an indie film guy, right?
I don't know who that is. Wait, what's their name?
Adam Egypt Mortimer.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
Well, so the series is described as, quote, a psychedelic and bizarre buddy adventure about an air conditioner repairman with master criminal dreams and his best friend, a drug-addicted, genetically modified, foul-mouthed firearm.
That's pretty great.
It sounds pretty awesome. So that series is going to be coming out on June 26th.
Okay.
So yeah. That happens. And also, Pizzolo said that they aren't looking to make these things into movies, but they do want to engage in transmedia world building.
Lame.
So they're gonna make so they want to make all these into movies.
YouTube videos. I'm taking a transmedia class at school, and it's literally YouTube. It's YouTube and apps.
You're being taught YouTube?
I'm being taught YouTube, and I hate it. It's literally like, look what I found on Reddit, the class. doesn't say Reddit, but I'm like, you could find all these things on Reddit. It's like, all
right, class, for the next 20 minutes, I want you to browse Imgur.
Oh, brother. Womp womp.
And then write a 3,000-word essay on the pictures you found in there.
Yeah. I want a 4-page essay on lolcats.
Yes. All right, so you'll each randomly reach into this bucket and then pick out a URL from pictures unrelated. Then I want you to write the 1,000 words that those pictures are worth.
Pretty much all those are accurate.
Yeah, but it's not like someone reaches in there. It's like, teacher, I got a Google ad. I got like a Google AdSense link. What do I do with this? Write something on whatever like link, whatever like URL that the link takes you to.
Fuck is this Death Store Prods shit?
We can't afford to be on AdSense.
We were at one point.
At one point, yes, but...
Well, I'm assuming this class was running for a while.
Okay.
Film school! Wap, wap.
That's going to do it for this week.
What a note to end on. I'm so happy.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. As long as you can follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at DestoProds. I'm at Deadman_DDProds. We have at Bovey1 and at Steven_TC.
Yeah.
You can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/DestoProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at YouTube.com/DestoProdsVids for myself, YouTube.com/Bovey1 for Bovey1, and YouTube.com/DrThoraz, that's DrThoraz, for Steven.
Yeah.
And you can subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us for reviews, let us know you want to see more of this, etc. This week on the website, we're going to be having, this Friday, we're going to be having the movies podcast, as well as the final commentary track for Worst Movies Ever Month. This week, we're watching Jaws 4. Fuck. This was a horrible month.
It was, and once again, my pick was the best.
Yeah, but still, the best of the horribly painful bowel moves we had to go through.
Mine was entertaining. Mm. Anyways.
I was still crying afterwards.
I win.
Hi, doggy. You're my favorite customer. Here you go.
Fuck you, dude.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It's like, it's not true. I did not. It's, like, it's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, so then this Sunday we will not be having anything cast because people are off doing kanji.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then next Tuesday we're going to be having the Video Games Podcast. Next Thursday we're going to be having the Anime Podcast as well as the Anime Club. Then we're going to be taking a look at Eureka 7. And then, I normally don't announce these until the first of the month, but fuck it, this month was so terrible. Next month for March, we're going to be watching all of Resident Evil. All the movies.
Plus a bonus commentary.
Yes.
That's like 2 months worth of commentary.
Yeah, we're going to be taking next Friday, we're going to be taking a look at the first Resident Evil movie. And then the Saturday, we're going to be watching Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2.
I've heard it's amazing.
One part of it is amazing, that immediately undercuts itself of being a dream.
I know. There's 13 decapitations.
I'm sure it's amazingly bad. The only one of those movies that was not entertaining to sit down and ridicule was Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Except for like the bit right near the end where Bella's fucking spine breaks.
So many people get their heads cut off.
It was amazing. Just drop the blood, all of a sudden their back snaps in half. It was awesome seeing Kristen Stewart in so much pain. Yeah. So, until all that, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bovi One.
Ah!
So, you really gotta stop. You really gotta start saying your name again.
Steven!
Close enough. We'll see you guys next time.